rainy afternoon this winter, I sat down at my computer and took a semi-planned journey to the heart. I began transcribing the letters of my grandmother to my father during the late 1930s and the early days of World War II. That afternoon became magical for me. I made a pot of hot tea and gathered the letters together, and like many of us, I had them all kind of jumbled up in my garage, so I sorted things out, brought the letters in, and began to transcribe. This was a journey into uncharted waters. I did not know any of my four grandparents, and this grandmother was a particular mystery. My parents moved to Long Beach immediately after World War II, so I was born here. Early deaths and poor health claimed my Midwestern grandparents and their siblings long before I was born. While the rain beat down that day, I sipped my cinnamon tea, and I began to piece together this elusive woman who was my father's mother. I had found a small, tiny black and white picture of her, Daisy Smith, thin-waisted in her corset with her big, poofy Gibson girl hair, a white blouse and dark skirt from the time, laughing with her sister. They were teenagers having a good time. I had held the picture of a haggard, ancient woman with few teeth and a stern look, with her first granddaughter 50 years later, the same age as my beautiful older sister. My siblings, cousins, and I wondered what made up the story, the in-between adult years of our Grandma Daisy's difficult life. On this rainy day, in this transcendent moment, I was finding some answers to this family puzzle. A picture began to emerge from the words as I typed. I could feel the intense heat of the summer of 1940, the end of the terrible years of the Midwestern Dust Bowl. I followed the story of three of her sons being swallowed up in the enlistments demanded by the looming and increasing war effort. That day at home held beauty and mystery and surprises and answers. Like many people, I love to travel, but not everyone can afford, in terms of time, money, mobility, and family responsibilities, to actually go someplace else when they have a little time to themselves or they need a break. We can all be alert for those opportunities to take a meaningful journey without leaving our house or going too far, to have an experience that renews us. There have been many times when staycations were in the budget for our family, and while some staycations are intentional, there might be some other opportunities that we can explore and make part of our lives with just a little forethought. We know that we should take breaks and some time for ourselves regularly. And many of us do have a regular meditation or spiritual practices that are on a schedule that we're able to keep to that renew and refresh us. Some of us, however, might need reminders to make that space. Time to let our creative, artistic, psychological, and spiritual juices flow. While it can feel self-indulgent to take some time to care for ourselves, say when we're caring for a loved one or with our social justice work, we can be assured it's not a whimsical indulgence. In her book, Trauma Stewardship, An Everyday Guide to Caring for Self While Caring for Others, Laura Vandernote Lipsky describes what can happen if we're overburdened, social justice advocates, or involved in traumatic events in our personal lives or in our outside work and organizations. And we don't take time to recover from traumatic incidences or experiences. She lists indicators to watch for when we do not take adequate care of ourselves and we move into these problematic feelings and behaviors. These include feeling helpless and hopeless, the sense that one can never do enough, diminished creativity, minimizing, like saying, I've seen worse when something happens, chronic exhaustion and physical problems, inability to listen to others. inability to embrace complexity. Everything becomes this or that. There are no shades of gray. Feelings of persecution, guilt, fear, anger, and cynicism. The inability to empathize and kind of a numbing of our emotions. Grandiosity, our attachment to the feeling of being needed and useful and losing touch with our interdependency with others and the larger web of life, as stated in our seventh principle. The concern that no one can replace us or do what we do. Now, Lipsky doesn't give a time frame for experiencing these emotional difficulties. I don't know about you, but on a bad day, I can go through like most of that list in 10 minutes. And this is the short list. She has a big long list in her book, so I do encourage you to read the book. So what can we, as those who are awake and engaged in life, do to help ourselves stay renewed, to keep ourselves in the game emotionally and physically for the long haul? One writer that came to mind when I was puzzling and thinking about this service was Julia Cameron. I dusted off my copy of The Artist's Way, and who participated in The Artist's Way back in the day? Or maybe you still do some of those. Yeah, it was very powerful when it first burst on the scene. Cameron guarantees if we do two things regularly, we'll be open, creative conduits for the good energies of the universe. We'll rock it all with our creativity. The first activity is to write what she calls daily pages, regular journal pages, to clear out our minds and hearts. And when I did this, I was very honest, and I immediately shredded them. I thought, I don't want anybody to read this, not even me. So there are ways to do it so that you have privacy. The pages should be written every day, preferably in the morning, and we write whatever comes to us, no censorship. The other suggestion is that we take ourselves on an artist date, that's what she calls it, for at least 2 hours each week. We are to go somewhere alone and have some kind of an experience that we've never had before. When we open ourselves up and provide space and opportunity using Cameron's or some other method of renewal, we're clearing the way for our highest selves to express our own unique creativity. I'd like to recommend using some method or plan for your own creative work when you set up for a meaningful staycation, whether you commit to 2 hours per week or a one-time experience. Make plans for something special and outside of your routine. I've been privileged to attend our elder circle here at UUCLB, and I see some of the folks in the room. I've heard some wonderful reflections from those folks who are right here with us today. They share family stories, stories from their life. It's really been a privilege to sit with them. Perhaps sharing some family stories you want to pass along, or organizing and scanning pictures with a plan to take your time and savor each step of the process. If we have a phone, most of us have a way to record our own stories on video. Revisiting the events of our lives in a fresh way can help provide perspective. Psychologist and writer Thomas More tells us that in memory, we never tire of reflecting on the same events. I spent many summers in my childhood on a farm with an uncle who told stories endlessly. He says, this I now see was his method of working out the raw material of his life. His way of turning his experience round and round in the rotation that stories provide. Out of the incessant storytelling, I know he found added depths of meaning. Storytelling is an excellent way of caring for the soul, and his book was The Care of the Soul. It helps us see the themes that circle in our lives, the deep themes that tell the myths that we live. Now, I don't know how many of you grew up with that same older relative who tended to tell the same story over and over and over. To my dismay, I find myself turning into that repetitive storytelling older relative as I get older. But anyone of any age can take a story from their life and find out a little more. You can retell the family story and put yourself into the shoes of each person involved. Retell the story to yourself from each person's point of view. I wish now I'd not let my eyes roll up in the back of my head and my body go limp every time my dad started to tell a story about Pony Rock, Kansas. I want to hear the juicy stories now. I have all kinds of questions. I can see now that it would have helped him as he processes life to come to the story from a different angle. I was able to do that with him to some degree as an adult, but I wish I'd done it more. Your staycation doesn't have to be something family related. It should definitely be an activity that has the potential to provide a deeper joy and satisfaction just for you. From reading my grandmother's letters, I found out that her mystery illnesses, alluded to by my father and uncles, seemed to have to do with mind-body distress, and the combination caused her to be hospitalized twice during the war years. She railed against her nervousness as she described it. The first time she was hospitalized, my grandfather had a job that took him away from home, and my father and my youngest uncle served as her primary caregivers. My father never mentioned this. This was an extremely sensitive, musically talented woman who had five children, the Dust Bowl, and the financial depression of the 1930s to contend with. My mom had described to me how hard just normal housework was in the 1920s and 1930s, the endless sewing and baking and cleaning and washing. The Midwestern Dust Bowl began in 1930 and 1931, and the combination of severe drought and dust storms rendered about 160 million acres of owned and cultivated farmland useless across the Great Plains, including Kansas. My dad described how Daisy would get up each morning, tie a handkerchief over her mouth, and try to sweep all the dust and dirt out of their house each day. Bless the woman, I would have been plenty nervous too. I read over her letters and felt so happy at the very few joys in her life. Her adoration for her first granddaughter, my cousin Mary Lou. This rigid, judgmental farm woman found her heart with this adored grandchild. I hope she was able to find some peace and joy during those times. For myself, I found a piece of complex family puzzle that had long been missing. My cousin Mary Lou dug out her letters, and so she wrote them up and sent them out to the family. We got a much better picture of this highly sensitive person who suffered so greatly during her lifetime. There was a huge stigma around any kind of mental illness, even serious depression, with these descendants of hardworking German, Dutch, and Irish settlers. Working harder and drinking more coffee was usually the cure for all ailments of mind and body in that culture and time. I ache to think what a difference a mild antidepressant, yoga classes, child development information, marriage counseling, and air conditioning could have done for Daisy's life. The spirit of that beautiful, stylish, laughing teenager at the turn of the century might have been able to hang on through the years in the sad and defeated older woman. That said, not all of us have family byways we want to stroll along for a refreshing staycation. If you don't want to go into the past, set aside time to create new memories for your staycation and journey to the heart. In fact, I wouldn't recommend working on painful memories or anything traumatic for a vacation or a staycation. That's the work of therapy or a very special structured time. For those of us in crisis, perhaps medical, emotional, or housing, surviving is key. Taking a moment to breathe deeply, to notice a flower or a bird, the moon or the sun, might be all we can do to renew ourselves. If that is where your journey is right now, my heart goes out to you. Simply staying in the present and making a new memory can be an incredible experience. Stepping out of the everyday in our own home can bring us surprises. A friend recently had her 8-year-old granddaughter stay with her for a week. Their favorite pretend game is to say their ages 20 and 21, and they are roommates living together in the city. So this is a woman my age and her 8-year-old granddaughter. My friend's house magically becomes their apartment, and her granddaughter sets up the scenarios that they act out together. I immediately wanted to be taken in as the third roommate. Man, that sounded like fun. And what a fun way for these different generations to get to know each other's hearts and minds. Someone in the congregation told me last summer that they regularly take a tree bath at the park. Is that person here? I mean, what? How cool is that? Yeah. So, nature walks, different ways to experience going to a new place. For several years on New Year's Day, I would go alone to a local beach and walk and pick up trash and think about what my upcoming year would be like. One year, I found a children's wall hanging, washed up in all these pieces, and the main part with all these things hanging down, but they were broken up, was a cow. So I picked up this cow as I was picking up trash, and I thought, you know, and I just started laughing. I thought, oh, my gosh, I got a sacred cow on New Year's Day. And it's still in my backyard. My sacred cow is back there. So whether you have 2 minutes, 2 hours, or 2 days, taking a mindful journey invites us into reflection on where we've been, where we are now, and where we're headed. As we all know so well, it's easy to get caught up in our day-to-day lives. Taking a beauty walk around a new or familiar location can also be a way to connect with the everyday. One class I took at theological school had us do volunteer work, and we took a beauty walk. And so that's a walk where you simply focus on everything. If you took a beauty walk here, you'd walk around the neighborhood, notice the people and the, you know, plants, all the things. And on that walk, my unexpected kind of fun joy was I met two Jehovah's Witnesses, and we had a great chat. We sat and stood and talked. Cheryl Kujawa Holbrook reminds us reintegration from a spiritual journey is an important part of a journey to the heart. So there's lots of ways we can reintegrate. Maybe create an altar or make artwork of your walk or take pictures, make a meal if you've been somewhere or visited someplace. There's all kinds of ways we can kind of move back into day-to-day life if we need to. If you're doing something quick, maybe just relaxing your body in a few breaths. The eco-psychologist Lupa invites us to get to know our own geographical areas by taking pictures, learning about our local plants and animals, creating meditations, and again, making altars based on a deep love and understanding of where we are right here, right now, on this land. After I typed up my grandmother's letters on that wonderful afternoon, I immediately sent copies to all my extended family, and surprises happen when we do things like that. I happened to also go into my an account for the genetic database that I'd done years ago. I hadn't looked at it in years. And there was a letter for me from another relative, and we ended up sharing information and all these letters. And, you know, it was like, oh, my gosh, it was like an extension of what I had done with my grandmother's letters from that side of the family. And we posted a whole bunch of stuff on YouTube, which we hope for future generations. So I'd like to invite you this summer to set something up for yourself that will carry you back to your own self, the center of who you are. If we rest and renew on a regular basis, the process will allow us to bring our best selves forward for the work ahead. The immigration crisis, the climate, our homeless neighbors in our area and beyond, all these issues will need each of us to be fully engaged in our work as Unitarian Universalists. And since we are Unitarian Universalists, after we're rested and grounded, we'll be charged up and ready to act for our own good and the good of others. And as the Reverends Joanna Fontaine Crawford and Susan Frederick Gray have said and called us to do, and in the spirit of our Universalist ancestors, be prepared to then go out and love the hell out of this world. Blessed be. Thank you.